Do we have any comments or questions before we start from last week or anything that you read that you would like me to comment on? I was listening to President Bush on the television, watching him on television just before I came tonight. Having picked up the morning paper and seen the Swedish inspector, the United Nations inspector from Sweden, having reported to the Security Council in a much more strongly negative terms about the disarming of Iraq, that obviously set the tone for the president to be able to speak extremely strongly this evening about the necessity to act in some warlike manner. Last night in one of our satsang groups, the lay members, we had a very long discussion, which was the second Monday in a row that we had a very long discussion about war in Iraq and what is the appropriate self-realization response. Interestingly, in the Palo Alto Ministers Association, which is a group that David and I attend, that we belong to, we didn't actually discuss it, but at the end of toward the end of the meeting with the 20 or so clergy people from ranging from us to the Latter-day Saints and sort of everything that you can imagine in between. So it's a very diverse group theologically. And we're all in part of what this wonderful phrase that people have come up with, the faith community. And I love that now. President Bush uses that too. I don't know where it started, but it's a nice one. Or faith-based communities. And that you sort of like respect everybody. It's a very clever phrase. Everybody has faith in something. Somebody was passing out, I think the Quakers were passing out their usual peace march sort of literature, and the woman from the Latter-day Saints raised the question, what do you do, she was asking all of us, when your congregation is so diverse in your opinions? How do you, as a clergy person, what do you represent? You know, can you go on these peace marches with a sign from your church? Because there had been prior to that something we did not participate in, which was a big demonstration in Palo Alto in which they wanted clergy people to come with signs representing their congregations. But she raised the very real question, if it's not a tenet of your faith, how can you stand there and say that our church says this when your congregation can be so diverse? We had no discussion on the issue because it was too late to discuss it, but it was a very interesting question. And in the discussions that I've been having for the last couple of weeks, people have sort of been asking, essentially, and I'm beginning to appreciate how complex that question is for people. For me, it's not complicated because I dismiss it as irrelevant. I don't feel compelled to have an opinion in a certain sense, although if the country goes to war, it may be different than that. Now, having spent many hours already in the last 7 days discussing that subject, that's not my intention tonight, although I believe it also came up big time in this class. In an earlier session, but I have been trying to get a grip myself on this particular book. At Sunday service, I made reference to the fact that I have felt myself a little bit dry. At the first class that I was here, there have been three, I felt very like I got it. I understood what this book was about. The last two, I myself have felt like I've just been kind of wandering around looking for the hook. I mean, the gift of gab is given to me so I can wander around and still keep the words going, and even some of them string together in a relatively coherent way. But I myself have felt a difficulty in grasping the point, because Swamiji has done an extraordinary thing here. He's written the entire book without talking about God. And it's just like, so I don't have my usual sort of way of going at it. It's not like God Alone or Whispers from Eternity, where we were just like there and everybody was in it and we just knew just exactly what we were doing and the class was twice as large because everybody cared, right? When we're talking about communism, Machiavelli, these are not like subjects that the devotee immediately thinks of. Oh, goody, goody, you know, we'll do the Om technique, then we'll practice Kriya, then we'll talk about Machiavelli. It just doesn't like... There aren't any, Master hasn't written any chants with his name in it or anything like that. It's just, it's very, very tricky. And I've sort of approached it a little bit like this too. And oddly enough, after each class, like in the intervening week, all these ways of tying it together kind of have come to me. But in each class, I've had a little bit of difficulty. And it was grim facing Adam Smith. you know, who I never even heard of Adam Smith until Swami wrote this book, because I'm not an educated person. You know, he was an economist concerned with the rights of factory workers, which was a laudable thing. You know, and he wrote a book about, I now know because I've studied this chapter so carefully, he wrote an influential book about the value of goods and how labor should be respected and so on like that. What he was really trying to say is that the people who put their labor in it create the value, and therefore you have to value the people who put their labor into it, and his intention was good. But more than that, especially reading this one, and coupled with the discussions that we've been having over the last few weeks, and I'm adding one more piece to this, Swamiji, over all these years that, you know, we've all been with him now,